What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, episode 82, Sports Medicine Mission Trips, recorded May 14th, 2014. Our special guest this week is President of Christian Sports Medicine Alliance, Paul Waller. He's a president and founder. I think president, I may have just made that up. But I am your host, Jeremy Jackson, and sitting right beside me is...
George.
Marlon.
Ida.
Brianna.
Jocelyn.
Lorena.
Marissa.
And then, of course, we have Paul Waller joining us on Skype from Dallas.
How y'all doing, guys?
Good, and you?
Good, thanks.
All right, so if you want to join our conversation, then you can go to sportsmedicinebroadcast.com using the hashtag TheSMB on Twitter. You can ask your questions live, so you can do that at any time. Ustream social feature, Marlon should be looking at that. Brianna should be watching the questions section over there, so hopefully we'll be able to see any and all those questions. Again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com to connect with us. Also, you can find it on and rate it on iTunes, and that will help other people find it. The more it gets ratings, the higher up in the list it goes. So if you get a chance in iTunes, rate it, tell your friends about it, and that kind of thing. All right, so christiansportsmed.com. Is it .com, Paul?
Yes, it is.
Christians?
.org.
.org, yeah. I think I went to .com yesterday, and it was for sale or something. christiansportsmed.org if you want to check out their website. But real quick, we are back in spring football, and spring football means watching film. So for the first 20, 30 minutes of the interview, you will be able to hear Coach Stalen and any other coaches, and I apologize if what they say is inappropriate. Sometimes that happens. So they'll be over there talking, and it'll be noisy. And then when they leave, it'll be really noisy because they'll be walking out the door. So just kind of a heads up on that. All right, without much further ado.
Oh, Mr. Waller, please tell us who you are and what you do.
My name is Paul Waller. Like Jeremy said, I am the president and founder of Christian Sports Medicine Alliance. We are an organization that is that's an evangelist ministry that reaches out to the sports medicine community, whether it be athletic trainers, physical therapists, orthopedic surgeons, anybody that's in the sports medicine community that their practice is geared towards sports and athletes. We are an evangelistic Christian organization. So we have a ministry here domestically where we reach out to athletic trainers like Mr. Jackson and his high school and just provide him and his colleagues and people in his area in the athletic training profession with spiritual support, with resources, with prayer support, with encouragement, and other resources that can help them live out their faith in Christ on the campus level. And then we also have an international side to our organization to where we engage the professionals and also the students that are, say, in college. We have to send them out into the field to do mission work either internationally or domestically. So that's right now what we're doing, and it's growing as we speak.
Can you tell us your story of becoming an athletic trainer?
Yeah, I grew up in a real small town up north of Dallas, really now it's north of Frisco, called Salina. And I have known pretty much since I was 14 years old, since I was a freshman in high school, what I wanted to do with my whole life. I've known since then that I've wanted to be an athletic trainer. I've been an athletic trainer, really, I guess, since then. Been a professional athletic trainer, a licensed athletic trainer here in the state of Texas for almost 15 years. I've served in three different high schools, and so this has really been my whole life. I mean, I have never wanted to do anything else but be an athletic trainer. I just love sports. I love working with athletes. I love working with kids, and now I have the opportunity to do that and also travel.
Can you tell us your story of CSMA?
Yes. Christian Sports Medicine Alliance was came to be September 13th of 1995. This year it'll be 19 years that the vision, the dream, the mission of Christian Sports Medicine Alliance came to be. I was asked to travel to the country of Zimbabwe in 1995 to work with the All Africa Games and helping them prepare and to put together their medical venues and their medical facilities for the All Africa Games in 1995, which was the precursor to the Atlanta Olympics in 96. I get there and really nothing was going on. They really did not have anything in place. There was no venues, there was no supplies, there was no opportunities in the way of sports medicine to happen within the games. So we just started working. And I'm about 2 or 3 weeks into the process, getting ready to go to the opening ceremonies for the games. And I was able to get a large package from my college ministry, the organization that I was involved with back here in Arlington at Field Road Baptist Church. And they all had encouraging notes of, "We're praying for you, we're thinking of you," and all of them had the same verse written on it. And the verse is our ministry verse, the one that you see on our t-shirts, on our business cards, on our website, anything that we put out. Typically, we'll have this specific verse on it. And the verse is out of the Old Testament. It's out of the book of Habakkuk. And it's chapter 1, verse 5. And the verse says, "Look at the nations and be absolutely amazed. For I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told." And that was about 3:30 in the afternoon when I received that package and I received that verse. And so I really didn't think a whole lot about it. I really didn't know how to process that time, that verse, until I got to the opening ceremonies, which is about 6 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon, in the evening. We went to the National Soccer Stadium in there in Zimbabwe, in Harare. And sitting in the stands about 30 to 40 yard line, 50 yards, 50 rows back in the stands, the opening ceremony started. And if anybody has ever seen the opening ceremonies for the Olympics, whether it be summer or winter, when the nations start coming in, it's called the Parade of Nations. And the Parade of Nations, they will have their flags and they will have their standards, and the countries will file in one by one. And when the country started coming in with their flags and their standards saying what country they're from, I just really was impressed. It was impressed upon my heart again. The verse came back to my mind, and I just really felt like the Lord really spoke to me and specifically told me that to look at those nations and to imagine, to be amazed, to be astonished, because through the nations, He's going to use, He's going to do something in our days, in my lifetime, that I would not believe even if I was told. So fast forward many years, Christian Sports Medicine Alliance now is one of the only sports medicine ministries in the entire world, if not the only one, to where we are strictly volunteer-based as of right now. We're working on remedying that and bringing on full-time staff people. But we have been able to go to many different countries, and we've done many summer camps here in the United States. And it's all because of September 13th of 1995, that vision was given to me.
All right, so that what you're saying, you're at basically the U.S. Olympic Games, but for Africa?
Right. It was the qualifiers for Africa to the players, the athletes that qualified. They have it's every 4 years. It's the year before the Olympics. So they, it's like our U.S. qualifiers. So whoever qualified during the All Africa Games was invited to go to the Olympics.
So how did you get hooked up with the African Olympic Games?
It was that happened really started happening probably the summer before, when in 1994 I was able to go on my very first ever mission trip. I went to the country of Madagascar, which is the island that sits off the country of the continent of Africa. I spent 3 months there, just doing a lot of ministry work, doing basic first aid. Obviously not practicing as an athletic trainer because I wasn't licensed back then, but just doing basic first aid and And the missionary that I was working with had a really heart for sports. And he was working with the Zimbabwe government. And they...
Can you say that last part again? It was cutting in and out.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The missionary that I was working with in Madagascar in 94, he was working with the Zimbabwe government leading up to the games, the All-Africa Games in 95. And he talked with them and visited with them, and they just invited me over to come and to help out. I wasn't a licensed athletic trainer, but back then I was just going as a volunteer and helping out and giving, whatever advice I could give. I wasn't practicing, but just going in and just kind of volunteering and serving.
All right, so you just started off with volunteering, and then it just happened into something else, and then that became, obviously, looking at it now, you're saying it was carefully planned by God. You put you in the right place at the right time.
Absolutely.
I gotcha.
Yeah, and I've had a lot of opportunities since then, before even Christian Sports Medicine got off and running. I was able to work on staff with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes here in Texas. I was on staff with them in East Texas for 2 years, and working under the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and working with that ministry really, really helped me personally, knowing how to communicate with coaches and how to communicate with other athletic trainers and how to communicate with people, how to cast visions, how to formulate a ministry, how to put things together. Because FCA, they do everything so well. They do phenomenal. They are the sports ministry. So, it was really a blessing to be able to work with them and be on staff with FCA for 2 years.
I gotcha.
Can you tell us your experience with CSMA so far?
Yeah, CSMA became incorporated, which is a process. There's a process that you have to become in order to become a nonprofit organization. We became incorporated in 2009 here in Texas. We got our nonprofit status with the IRS, with the government in 2010. In 2011, we sent five volunteers to three different countries. We went to the Philippines, went to Ethiopia, and went to Southeast Asia. That was in 2011. 2012, we sent 17 volunteers we did a camp in College Station, the FCA camp at College Station. And then we started working with other organizations, going to the Dominican, going to Costa Rica, going to Panama, Southeast Asia again. And then last year we sent 26 volunteers. We increased our domestic ministry camp with FCA we did a camp in North Carolina. We also did a camp in Georgia, and we did a camp here in Texas. This year we are on pace to do about 40 volunteers. We'll have six volunteers at a camp in Georgia. We will have close to 12 volunteers going to two different camps here in Texas. The countries we'll be in this year will be in Hungary, Kosovo, Israel. We'll be in the Dominican. We'll be in Belize, Panama. We're looking at Cameroon, which is West Africa. And we're just really going to a lot of different places.
All right, so the FCA camps, before you guys got involved, did they have any sort of sports medicine athletic trainer involvement? Is that something you guys just took over, or is that just something that you kind of created?
Well, I think the FCA has always probably have had athletic trainers come to their camps. I'm not really, when I was on staff with FCA, I was the athletic trainer for a lot of the camps in Texas just because of my license and how I could practice. But what we're finding is the way we approach FCA is that since we have our network, since we have a base of a network of athletic trainers, especially here in Texas, and we're increasing our exposure, our presence across the country, that we just approach FCA and say, hey, listen, let us help you and let us come alongside you. Let us serve you. Let us provide this service for your camps, and let us basically let us just take that responsibility off of your camp directors and off your staff. So that's one less thing that you have to necessarily worry about, because putting on an FCA camp is a big deal. College Station will have close to 500 athletes at this camp, and we're providing 8 athletic trainers for that camp. And all these people that go to these FCA camps are strictly volunteers. Most camps do not pay. So we're really not looking at it from a money standpoint. We're looking at it basically as giving the athletic trainers an opportunity to serve and to do it outside of the traditional setting of the athletic training room, and to be able to serve and to use their skills to share their faith in Christ.
All right.
Can you tell us where CSMA is headed?
Where we're headed in the future?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're looking at a lot of different opportunities. Some are public and some are not public, just because of security reasons. The ones that are not public, I can tell you that some of those countries are in what we call closed countries. And those are countries that we'll have to be very sensitive about how we've advertised them, how we promote them, how we get our volunteers. What we're looking at for the future is to obviously increase our presence across the country of doing FCA camps. We would like to expand out to more camps across the South. You know, we'd love to have Louisiana and Arkansas and Mississippi and Alabama and all of Georgia, Florida, North and South Carolina, and Tennessee are the ones we're really focusing on right now, in Oklahoma. But that's a process. One thing that we are looking at is that one of my responsibilities, I leave on June 5th, I go to the Dominican to visit with an orthopedic surgeon in the Dominican with an organization called Cure International. And this orthopedic is responsible for a lot of the physicals, the pre-participation physicals, the medical provisions for some of the Major League Baseball teams that are stationed in the Dominican. We are looking at trying to develop a relationship and develop a presence in the Dominican, working with that doctor and with that organization to put athletic trainers down there on a consistent basis, maybe not long-term, but on a consistent basis, to start working with some of the other athletic trainers in Major League Baseball there in the Dominican, and also work with some of the medical community in the Dominican that may need some extra training and helping and increasing their skill level. Also to use, obviously, as a relationship thing to share our faith.
All right, so from what I'm understanding is that you're working with major league teams, basically, or potential major leaguers, but they don't have sports medicine professionals, they don't have athletic trainers, people to take care of those kids, even though these are the ones that they're looking to bring into the major leagues and pay the millions of dollars?
Some of them don't. Yeah, some of them don't. We have the four teams that we're right now that I'm going to go down there and visit with, they do have certified athletic trainers. Some of the major league teams, and this is changing from what I understand, that Major League Baseball is changing this policy where they're going to try and put in full-time certified athletic trainers on a consistent basis. But there's some teams right down there that I know of that I've been told that don't have certified athletic trainers on staff. And so, you know, their skill level is limited. You know, they're probably good enough to do their job. But what we don't want to come in and take over anything. We just want to come in and add a service to that and help them and provide them with resources and provide them with extra training if they need it, with all of the whole purpose of building that relationship with them to share our faith.
All right. Can you tell us some stories of some of the trips you've been on, just some of the things you've experienced, some of the things you've done? I know you've done some of that throughout, but really just focus on what you've done so far, or things that you've been able to experience or share or do because of your involvement with CSMA?
Sure. One of the things that, like, my trip to, not only will I be going to the Dominican this summer, the tail end of my trip, I'll be going to the country of Belize, which is borders, I think, Guatemala. And Belize has absolutely no sports medicine, really, that I know of, that I've been told, sports medicine presence in the way of ministry-wise going on. So we are we're going down to visit with the softball federation. We're going to also visit with the coaches of the U16 or U17 soccer federation, and also the Special Olympics. You go in and start sending down teams on a regular basis to help them. And really, it's not even just athletic trainers, Jeremy. We're looking also at sports performance, strength conditioning specialists to go in and do teaching and how to teach them and show them how to be better athletes and how to be faster, quicker, strong, bigger, and how to become better athletes. So, you know, like, and again, it's just it's an opportunity for us to share faith.
All right, so real quick, Paul, are you able to hear us fine?
Yeah, fine.
Okay, because they're loud, and I'm not sure if Skype is, it does like an auto-adjust on the microphone, so you're actually pretty quiet over here, but it may be because the coaches are so loud that it's reading as us talking, so it kind of silences you or something like that, but I don't know.
I can hear you fine.
Okay. All right, so what else do you got for us in the way of stories? So just your experience. So tell us some of the things that are going on there.
Well, and it's really not a story of personal. It's a story that we had last summer that was really a neat opportunity for us, and we're going back again this year. We have two volunteers going to Israel with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes out of West Virginia. One that the trip is I do believe it's actually it's American football. But last summer we went with them. Our Kara Taylor, which is our director of volunteers and mobilization, she went on this project last summer, and she was invited to go to Bethlehem University and do a 3 to 4 day clinic on care and prevention, and really teaching the basics of what we do. It's really almost like a sports medicine one class, and just wrapped it into 3 days of intense teaching of working with some of their athletes and really working with some of their medical community that's in that country. And it was really kind of cool because we have been invited back to do follow-up. And throughout the whole year, Kara has been able to keep in contact with some of the people that she was in contact with in Israel last year. We also have developed a very strong relationship with FCA in Ukraine. And obviously, Ukraine is going through a lot of problems right now, so we're not going back there until some of the stuff has been resolved. But we have, through that Ukrainian opportunity, we have the opportunity now. Kara is going to Hungary and Kosovo to work with a group called Global Baseball Initiative. And Kosovo is one of the only countries that does not have baseball in Europe. So they're going to be starting a baseball program. Kara is going to go in and teach and do some outreach and work with some of the baseball coaches and really work on more care prevention of baseball-related injuries. And that really looks like something, Jeremy, that we're going to be able to do on a very consistent basis, more than just one time a summer, that they're probably going to be asking us to come back several times during the year. And that's one of our goals, is to not just go back for a week to Hungary for a week, but we want to start sending out people throughout the entire year, and for them to say, hey, I want to go for 2 weeks. I have 2 weeks off. I need to go. I want to go somewhere. And they tell us where they want to go, and if we have contacts there, we can send them there. So those are the kind of things that have happened because of us putting ourselves in a position and going to where we know that God is telling us to go, and it's just really has blossomed and grown into an incredible opportunity.
All right, so you're talking about these places, they don't have sports medicine professionals, and I'm just thinking you're talking about Sports Medicine 1, and these are my Sports Medicine 1 students, and most, they're actually all certified in first aid CPR, and, you know, they know how to treat a wound. They know, we've talked about anatomy and those kind of things. So what are you teaching these coaches or these other people like that when you're going to Israel and having a sports medicine one institute or whatever?
Well, it's more, in sports medicine one, you can get into more anatomy. You can get into more taping and basic rehab protocols, how to do an ankle, how to do basic rehab on an ankle, basic rehab on a shoulder, different exercises. You'd be amazed at, especially when I've been in Africa, you'd be amazed at the lack of, one, resources, not so much knowledge, but it's really lack of resources, lack of supplies, lack of resources where they can continue their education, continue their knowledge, increasing their knowledge. I've been in countries where they have no concept of ice. One, because they can't get it, or they don't understand why we're using ice, or they don't understand why, how to properly treat a wound, or how to properly evaluate a minor ankle sprain, or how to tape, or one, they can't afford getting tape, so they just don't tape. So a lot of the athletes just go and practice on a severely sprained ankle, or they just continue to play with tendonitis in their shoulder or in their knee, or severe low back pain. I think that a lot of times in the States, we take advantage and we take that for granted because we have the facilities. A lot of the countries that we're going into and that I have seen over the years, they don't have the facilities or the resources to treat that or the knowledge. And if we can provide them with something in the way of non-traditional, obviously we're not going to all have ultrasounds or e-stim units or hydroculators or anything like that, but if we can teach them something that is non-traditional and help them, then it really helps increase our presence, helps increase our validity, educates them on the profession of athletic training. Because again, outside of the United States, there's a lot of people that have no idea of what athletic trainers are. And we want to, as a ministry, not only minister to their needs spiritually, but we also would like to educate them on the profession of athletic training and give them that opportunity to use our service.
On Twitter, I follow people where it's talking about every high school that has sports or every facility that has contact sports should have an athletic trainer. If you can afford to pay for football equipment, you can't afford to not have an athletic trainer. And while I agree with that, I'm thinking about what you're saying here is you have potential professional athletes. They're in a system that's going to be professionals, but they don't even have one sports medicine person within that. Olympic level athletes, and they're bringing you a non-certified, non-licensed athletic trainer to Africa so that you can care for the sports medicine needs. What are your thoughts on that? Just the perspective.
I think for me personally, it's kind of back when 95, when it first happened, I was kind of amazed. But now it's kind of come to more of a understanding that that's what we're going to be facing, especially in Africa. And I love Africa. I've been there 9 times. I really consider Africa, parts of Africa, my second home. I have so many friends that live there and are from Africa speaking of, say, like the Dominican, they have the access to orthopedics, through the orthopedic surgeon I was mentioning. They have access to it, but it's not even more so the Major League Baseball teams. It's more the lower level teams that are not involved in what we call the academies. It's those kids that are coming up through the ranks that are not involved with Major League Baseball that probably do not have the access or the availability of having someone like ourselves or an orthopedic that can treat them and care for them. All they have is a coach, or they have a parent that has little to no knowledge or experience on what to do. Those are some of the people that we really want to help and to serve, is those type of people.
Tell me one of the craziest treatments or remedies that you've seen in all your dealings with other countries. I know one time I had a kid come in and he had stepped on a nail, and so his mom told him to put gasoline on it. And so I'm just thinking that there is no sense in doing that. It just so, you know, like you said, people with little to no knowledge how to properly treat an injury or a wound. Tell me one of your horror stories there.
Well, I think some of the biggest horror stories, again, it's in the most of my experience has been in Africa, that when they get open wounds, a lot of times they will dress them with gauze and leave the gauze or the dressing or the wrap on there for weeks on end. And most of them the sanitation is not the best. So you can only imagine after a couple of days what even here in the States, after a couple of days, if you don't redress the wound, what it looks like. Just imagine what it would look like after 2 or 3 weeks of not redressing the wound. The infections and the sores and the just the overall condition of the wound can be. But again, it goes back to they just do not have the access to the resources and the supplies and the knowledge and the availability to treat those type of things and treat those wounds and treat those situations.
What are some of the biggest barriers you face?
As a ministry, I think for us, it's more educating the general public. I was visiting with a gentleman today that he really did not know, and Jeremy can attest to this, there's a lot of people out there that don't have any idea, especially here in the States, even what we do. They don't understand that, you know, we work on average 55, 60, 70 hours a week. They don't understand that, you know, we go from August 1 to June 1, and we really don't get a break. There is no such thing as an off season. And they really didn't realize that as our profession, just as athletic trainers for us, that we go through situations, we go through struggles and trials on a daily basis because of we are in a profession that is constantly serving. We're in a serving profession. There's always someone that is wanting something. And that's what we signed up for. And as a ministry is trying to educate the people that our profession needs to have an organization that comes alongside them and serves them and provides them with prayer support and encouragement and the things that they need to get through that day. I don't know about you, Jeremy, but I've had several friends that have gone through tragedies, whether it be the loss of a student or divorce or other things personally that has just been a struggle and there's been nothing there for them. We as a ministry are wanting to do that. We want to be that ministry to our profession that supports them.
So you feel that, again, just I guess publicity or a lack of understanding of what we do is the biggest barrier?
Right. Yep. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, you know, once people understand what we do as athletic trainers, then we can either gain respect or lose respect. And hopefully, you know, through what you're doing, through what I'm doing here on the podcast, through meeting with others that we're promoting professionalism. And so then we gain respect and understanding. And it's like, hey, it's not just a trainer, it's an athletic trainer. They take care of sports injuries rather than they teach me how to lift weights at the gym. So
right.
Which is part of what we can do within our job. But yeah, if people don't know what you do, then obviously it's not important.
Right, exactly.
What can student athletic trainers do?
They can go with us. They can serve with us. When we send students, whether it be college, we haven't really gone out with the high schools, the students in high schools, but high school students can go with us. We would link them up, say if your athletic trainer there at your school wanted to go on a trip and he wanted to take some of you with him. Then he would obviously be the supervisor. It would be just like in your athletic training room or at your sport. He would supervise, and you would get a taste of what a short-term mission trip would be like. The other ways that you can get involved without going is we have weekly devotionals that you can get on a weekly basis, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. You can get on our Facebook page. You can get on our Twitter account. And you can receive our newsletters. You can stay plugged in to what we're doing so you know what the ministry is doing pretty much on a weekly basis. But also you can go. We can look for opportunities for you to go and work and to serve and to be an influence on someone else's life in another country.
All right. So some mission trips, you know, they're building houses and things like that.
Right.
Is that something I know when we talked to Renata and Diane at the beginning of the year, they talked about going to a dump and just kind of loving on kids. And mm-hmm. There was a couple other things that were outside just the regular sports medicine. So it's not just that, you know, they need to be experts in sports medicine and taping people in and looking at athletic injuries of potential professional athletes, but there's any number of jobs that an athletic trainer or an athletic training student could do.
Oh, absolutely. Just for instance, say in Dominican or Belize, if your high school students wanted to go on a short-term mission project to Belize or the Dominican, and say if you wanted to go with them, they more than likely, you and whoever included, everybody more than likely would have opportunities to work in an orphanage, to work in construction, to also use your skills in sports medicine. Because I believe with missions, there's two things that I always tell our volunteers. Expect the unexpected and be flexible. Because you're going to go into a country that does not have the American mindset. It's not going to be set on a schedule. So we have three volunteers that left yesterday to the Dominican, and I promise you they're going to have some opportunities to do ministry outside of the traditional setting that they thought they were going to go for. There may be an entire day where that's all they do is go into an orphanage and just love on kids, and that's okay with us. So that's part of it, and we're okay with that.
All right. So sounds like a lot of great opportunities for pretty much anybody involved. So I know it's called Christian Sports Medicine Alliance, but mm-hmm. it's not just what we do. So it's one of the things that you can use to send you or to get people moving.
Right. And Jeremy, real quick on the question that your student asked me about barriers, I was just thinking about this, kind of alluding to a comment you just made that and it's not necessarily a barrier. It's just it's a good problem. You'd be amazed at how many people that are in our profession have no idea that we even exist. Obviously we're pretty well known in Texas just because I live in Texas, you live in Texas. You know, we have a presence at SWATA. We, you know, this year we'll have our second annual prayer breakfast where last year we had 60 people show up. This year we're looking at well over 100. But the biggest, you know, one of the biggest challenges we find for us is promoting and engaging our profession across the country, of getting the exposure, getting people to knowing that there is a ministry for them, to them. And that is one of the, I guess if it's a barrier, it's a barrier, but it's more of a challenge for us. I mean, we're excited because just in the past year, we are right now actively on a weekly basis engaging almost 1,000 athletic trainers with the gospel every single week. We have, I don't know how many Twitter followers, we have almost 500 Twitter followers. So we're engaging our community, we're engaging our profession, we're giving our profession opportunities to do things that they really had no idea that were available to them until they came across Christian Sports Medicine Alliance. And that's the kind of the resounding theme of when we have people volunteer with us. Most of them say, I never knew that there was an opportunity for me to do this outside of the athletic training room. And that's exciting because that means that people are looking for opportunities to serve. Our profession is looking for opportunities to make an impact on someone else's life outside of their traditional athletic training room. And you know, because, I mean, you're making an impact every single day in the lives of your kids. But there are people around the world that don't have that opportunity, and people that we want them to have the same opportunity the kids do.
So we talked with Chris Linker of the AT podcast not too long ago. We kind of did a double show where I was on his and he was on mine at the same time. Mm-hmm. What other promotional things for CSMA have you guys used? I know you said you go to the SWATA, which is the Southwest Athletic Trainers Association convention. What other ways are there that you guys might be able to promote this?
We were just at the, we didn't do an exhibit, but we did some advertising with Mid-Atlantic Athletic Trainers Association. They just had their annual meeting this past weekend. We have done the Mid-America, is that right? M-A-A-T-A, another M-A-A-T-A conference last year. We'll do SWATA again this year. Next year, we're hopefully going to plan on doing the CETA Student Athletic Trainer Conference, which is supposedly absolutely huge. A lot of college students will be there. A lot of high school students will be there. We're looking to hopefully do that one next year. And also the Texas Physical Therapy Association convention, I think next year is either in Corpus or Galveston. We have done some talks and presentations at UNT Health Science Center here in Fort Worth, formerly it was Texas College of Osteopathic Medicine. We've done some presentations to some of their medical students over there. So we're slowly but surely getting the word out. It's just a process of, you know, when everybody on staff is volunteers, we have to use our time wisely.
All right, so what is, you said the CETA Student Athletic Trainer Workshop?
Yeah, it's Southeast Athletic Trainers Association. I think that's involves Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, I think. You know, they have their professional meeting. And I think the weekend before or whatever, I think it is they have a student athletic trainer meet where college students can go and high school students. And maybe the only one that I know of in the country that does that. I'm not really sure. I just found out about it about a month ago. And, you know, they have, you know, probably 500 or 600 from what people tell me. It's absolutely huge. College students that come together for that.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, because, I mean, GHATS, the Greater Houston Athletic Trainer Society, sponsors the CEUs for listening to this podcast. And, mm-hmm. you know, our workshop has like 1,000 high school students, but the only college students there are the ones representing their college. So, you know, we may have like 50 or 100 college students there representing the schools. But
right.
So
yeah, we did a conference last November called the Global Missions Health Conference in Louisville, Kentucky. And there was several thousand medical students. These were all medical, all of them were medical professionals, either medical professionals or medical students that were there learning specifically about medical missions. We were the only sports medicine ministry, medical ministry there at that conference of about 200 or 300 exhibitors.
And that sounds like you got a pretty good plan for at least getting the word out.
We're working on it.
So, well, I'm glad we could get help in the process, and hopefully,
this definitely helps.
Hopefully, we can motivate people to get moving. And again, I've talked about this before, but using organization, if you're a high school teacher, if you spend more than half of your time in working with students in a high school, check with Fund for Teachers, Fund for Teachers. So it's FUNDFOR and then teachers. They actually give you grants to travel. So possibly next year I'll take a mission trip using a Fund for Teachers grant. So athletic trainers, you can do that. So that would help offset some of the costs. You can write it as a team and get up to $10,000. So maybe you want to take you and three of your athletic training or sports medicine friends that are also teachers, and y'all want to go to the Dominican or go to Israel or go to wherever it is and work with sports medicine there to improve your profession. Well, it's a great way for you to get funding or get support for your grant. So, you know, don't let the money be the thing that holds you back. There's opportunities. and, you know, you got to involve the other people in your church and your community and your friends, your coworkers and that kind of thing, and just let them know what you're doing. But again, Fun for Teachers is a great way to travel and to do some things. And so this is actually to help your sports medicine professionals, your sports medicine students, or your religious reasons. So it's pretty cool. Check it out. Again, that's Fun for Teachers. All right, Drew, Paul, any final thoughts before we close out this?
No, I'm just glad you just mentioned that, because I had no idea that even existed.
Yep, and it's a national organization, so wherever you go, you may, you know, Stephanie is the one that came and talked on the podcast about it, so you may get with her and just see if she can send you some materials, and you could even set that up, you know, set some of that stuff at your booth, say, hey, here's an opportunity for funding.
Right.
Take this flyer, you know, consider going with us using this organization, so.
Now, are they an organization that's a staffed organization that you know of, or is it just a...
Oh, yeah. Stephanie's full-time. They have several different people. I mean, they're full-time. That's her full-time job, is to, like a go-between between the donors and the teachers.
Stephanie, your wife?
No. Stephanie Asherol is her name.
Oh, okay.
But, no, my wife is Sarah.
Oh, okay.
And so... She's the one that came and talked on the podcast about Fun for Teachers.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll look that up. I know this is not part of the podcast, but I'll look that up.
Well, no, I mean, that's insane. We're working together.
Yeah. So. I didn't even know that would happen, because that's going to be something we definitely can put on our website, you know, and put on our, you know, advertise that, you know, as an opportunity for funding for our volunteers, because most of our volunteers are in the education, right. In the education setting.
So then they'll just have to check and make sure that it applies to their area, their school, or whatever. But
right.
Fun for Teachers, the website, is in the show notes, so you can look at that later, click on that, and go from there. So.
Okay, awesome.
All right, well, I think if you have nothing else, then Jocelyn's going to close us out.
Okay, thank you very much for having me.
All right, thanks, Paul.
We want to thank the people who helped make this broadcast possible. GHAS for sponsoring CEU Opportunities, PISD Education Foundation, SarahHitty.com, or DonorsChoose.org, and FundForTeachers.org.
What?
It's Donors Choose. That's okay.
Oh, I did?
It's Donors. Where? Choose. You said Donors.
It's right. Towards the end of the year. Yeah. It's almost out.
I keep trying to get her to do it in Spanish so that she can pronounce perfectly in Spanish. So.
Do it in Spanish.
And we do. Hey, by the way, we do have an opportunity in Honduras.
There you go.
Jared, real quick, if you have any students, I'm assuming, forgive me for saying this, is the makeup of your school, is it a predominantly Hispanic?
That's probably a 98% Hispanic.
Oh, wow. Okay. did not know that. We have a person that has a company that's probably going to start advertising on our website that is needing some help in translations and translating mainly medical terminology. So I don't know, this may be something you can fit in maybe to your sports medicine class to help translate some of the areas of his website and his program that he has into Spanish.
You can send me that information that I can see. Okay. And it may be that I get with the health science class here, because they do actual medical terminology, and then it may be easier for them to do that, or maybe we do it here in sports medicine.
Okay.
But you can send me that information.
I'll do that.
So. All right, again, Sarah Haley was the one we talked to a week or so ago about pregnancy, and I didn't mention this yet because I don't think we've talked since then, but she actually sent us a code to download some of the videos for free, so my wife did that. So just because she wanted to share, she wanted to give back, she allowed us to download those videos. So once I get a chance to look at them, we'll do it here as a class. We'll do a pregnancy workout video. We'll have like an aerobics class going on in here. And so again, Fun for Teachers, if you're planning on going with CSMA, it's a great way to do that. That'll be in the show notes. That's on our website at sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. Again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. Almost every Wednesday you can watch live, and now that football's going on, you can get to hear all the playmaking and whatnot going on over there. So if you want to connect with us, join the conversation, then you can follow any of the links given to you by Jocelyn.
Follow us on Twitter at PHS Sports Med, Google Plus Sports Medicine Broadcast, and Facebook.com/PHS Athletic Training.
All right, so for Jeremy,
George,
Marlon,
let him know.
George,
Jocelyn,
Jeremy,
Marlon.
All right, that's a wrap.